from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who has patty cake stuck in his head, but instead it says, make me a mistake as fast as you can. I'll roll meanders, and I'll go off topic with glee. And hopefully soon you'll be so sleepy. I don't know how I pulled that together, but it's, you say, this is confusing already. Is this show all rhymes? And I'd say, no, just early pandering rhymes that I barely rhyme, just like it barely makes sense. And you're in for a treat because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And be sure to check our show notes or resources if you need extra resources in this time for self-care, for mental health, and to support the Black members of our community. There'll be links to organizations in the show notes, as well as links to these sponsors, which enable us to bring you the show twice a week for free. Thanks. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, which is a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. And I wanted to thank everybody that nominated frontline workers, people that have really done a lot for other people for our Helix giveaway. I want to thank everybody that participated, right? Because that's what the Sleepy Supporter Zone is all about. Those of you that take action, you're really helping everybody be able to listen to the show. And I also want to congratulate Abby and Guadalupe, who are the recipients of our Helix giveaway, getting a brand new Helix bed and a Helix weighted blanket. And everyone that supports Helix, because that's how we're able to do these giveaways, is all the great Helix customers that use our promo code, that use our link, and then share it. So I really, really appreciate all that. All of you that took the time and all of you that take the time, whether it's our referral program, our sponsors, our Patreon, or just spreading the word. Thank you so much. That's how I'm able to be here for you and a lot of other people. So I just want to say thanks. And speaking of being here for you, there's links to extra resources if you need them right now in the show notes. And if you want to be a part of change, if you want to support the Black members of our community, if you want to support the AAPI members of our community, there's links to resources for you to support the members of our community right in our show notes so you can be a part of positive change. And the last part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone is something I support. I always support good sleep, of course. And one podcast I love, one podcast creator I love is Harris of the Sleep Whispers podcast. So if you're looking for an extra sleep podcast, podcast to check out Sleep Whispers. You've heard me talk about it before. If you want to see me in my purple Sleep Whispers t-shirt, get over there, use the link in our show notes, or just open up your podcast app and type in Sleep Whispers. There's a wide variety of styles, all done in gentle whispering. You definitely want to check it out. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, which is now over. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
Posty poster song. Sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. the Legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story and personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dearest Scooter on Twitter and Dearest with a T on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me there, or you can get me through our contact page on our website. What do you say we slow it down and get on with the show? All right, hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it a bedtime story, and all you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to try to do the rest. What I'm going to try to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts and, you know, things on your mind, physical feelings, emotion, you know, anything you're experiencing, you know, whatever's keeping you awake. You could be traveling, you could be, see, whatever, I'd like to distract you from that. What I'm going to do is the safe place, one, there's no expectation on you. Really, there's no expectation of you to listen to me. You don't even have to like the podcast. All I usually ask is you give it a few tries, you know, see what you think. But and ideally, it'll put you to sleep. But you're also under no pressure to fall asleep. That's why I make the episodes about an hour, because I'll be here. And what I do is I send my voice across the deep, dark night. I use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Tonight, I don't know. Suddenly, my voice has become extra creaky and dulcet right when I sat down to record. I think it's because what do you call it when you try to, when you use evidence, false evidence inducing, whatever, what do you call that, anyone? Because, my oven's on. I don't know if that has anything to do with my voice being extra creaky. I have something in the oven. It's not a bun in the oven. Thanks for, all you that were thinking that. That's fine. That's funny. Scoots is making a big announcement tonight. We're live outside Sleep With Me Studios on the grass here. This little patch of grass. Oh, by the way, reporter, that's where that's her bathroom. Well, we're live here outside Sleep With Me Podcast Studios on the sidewalk. Great. Scoots has got a big announcement he's about to make. Actually, I'm trying to do, you know, this isn't the best time for a news report, believe it or not. I think you're here because I was going to announce I have something in the oven, but it's not a bun in the oven. Also, I don't know what year you've come from for news reporting. But I don't know if that was ever, it doesn't seem like an offensive term, I guess, because a bun just, But I guess they don't use that term anymore. Yeah, I mean, I guess my part of my brain does, but I can't do a news report. I got to get back to the listeners. I was just trying to explain. Oh, let me take that mic from you, actually. Thanks. What's your name? Bradley? I think that's a big news person's name. Oh, Brad. Thanks, Brad. Yeah, I was trying to make a correlation. I think that's what it is, a false correlation between the fact my oven's on and my voice feels extra creaky. Don't know if that's true or not, but I thought I'd say it. Brad, here, I'll try to pitch you as the new listener, Brad. How do you feel about that? You're just trying to do a news report. Well, I'm just trying to open a pod. Well, I guess we're both trying to do something. I'm trying to open a podcast. Oh, I'm trying to bake. Well, no, I'm not trying to bake anything. Something's in the oven. I don't know if it, good question, Brad. Brad, I got a question for you. When you have something in the oven, are you baking it? What's the difference between baking, roasting, and the, what's the one they say when you go to a restaurant that is cooked in a liquid? Braising. What, do you know any of the differences between those? Okay, Brad's refusing to answer these questions. Let me lay it on you, Brad. I think it's like half submerged in liquid and covered. Is that, do you think it's roasting or the other one? I already forgot what that word was in the liquid. You know, you don't know. Neither does the thing. I don't know either. But you said I was baking. I'm sure I'm not baking anything. Anyway, I'm going to bake a sleepy cake as fast as I can. It will actually be slow, about an hour. But yeah, I was trying to correlate my creaky dulcet tones to the fact the oven's on, Brad, because I make a podcast to put people, in your case, Brad, if I was, you know, doing it personally for you, in your feathered hair, in your perfect jaw, and no, I'm just being complimentary. No. The sleep podcast involves very strict boundaries. I can compliment you, but I don't mean it. No, I'm kidding. You do, like, I'm just stating, I'm correlating, you know, you're just a, oh, because you can't compliment something when it's a figment of, within your own mind, based on your self-image. No, Brad, you're not based on me at all. Anyway, Brad, back to the compliments, and I forgot, oh, I was going to say, the podcast to push you to sleep, Brad, in this case, it's a Sleep With Me. The podcast that puts Brad to sleep, we do it the bedtime story, Brad. Okay, I'll stop saying your name. And what I usually do, the structure of the show, if you're new here, since you are, is the first report. I get really tempted to keep repeating your name. I like to do that for some reason. And that's one sign you're not going to like the podcast. You say, well, how many times are you going to say Brad? And I said, well, there was one. I remember an intro in the 200 or 300s that I said Brad even more. Because I was talking about Brad, and then I started talking about Brads, those things you used to hold screenplays and reports together. Hey, Brad, what are the odds your last name's Brass? That would be a real good news person's name. Brad Brass, here reporting on the bun in Scooter's oven. It turns out he's doing that thing where he may be braising, he may be roasting, but he's not baking a bun in his oven. Brad. What was it again? You don't know either. It was Brad Brass. Brad Brass reporting. What do you think? Maybe you could start out with a Reading Rainbow segment. That sounds more like a kid on Reading Rainbow. Today's story, the podcaster that had a bun in his oven. It's the story of a reporter who goes to investigate. I liked this book because it was so silly. This is Brad Bradderson reporting. And then it goes, but I'm bum. You know that? Are you familiar with Reading Rainbow? No. That doesn't give me the greatest faith in our news system, Brad. You don't know what Reading Rainbow, this is Scooter live doing a podcast intro within a podcast intro for Brad. You're right, Brad. I shouldn't be doing any Reading Rainbow-based shaming. What would LeVar Burton say? He probably wouldn't be happy with me. But yeah, you're right, because this is all within my own mind. It's probably okay. Anyway, Brad, usually the structure of the show, since you're new here, is about a 5-minute, you know, covering, getting the business stuff out of the way. Then we do 8 to 12 minutes of an intro where I try to explain, in this case, to a proxy reporter named Brad Brass, how the podcast works. That's like, that puts a lot of people to sleep. For some people, the intro is a show within itself. It feels familiar, but it's a little, because this is the first time you've been on it, Brad. No offense, probably be the last. Brad Brass is hard to say, because I have to have a high sibilance awareness, Brad Brass. and also rhymes with so many, like, I just want to keep rhyming it, and then, you know, do something like throw you out of my pretend office and say, get your, you know, out of here, brass. Anyway, Brad, so then, and then we'll do a story. Tonight it'll be like a little bit of, it'll be, I don't know what it'll be. I mean, I think I know what it'll be, but it never turns out like that. But I'll have lulling, soothing tones. I'll take my time getting there. Oh, wait, this was supposed to be a 30-second report. Oh, this was supposed to be a joke. You're supposed to be, this was a joke report. Oh, lighthearted segment. That's what you call it at the news station. Well, I guess because I don't have a bun in my oven. You picked the wrong podcast or to report on. I do. It's not baking, Brad. We went over this. It's maybe roasting or the other one. Keep slipping out. What do you think's the deal with that, Brad? Do you ever wonder why, like, why is your mind, like, my mind's fumbling with that word? I really can't. It's like some things, it's like some words have a mail slot in my brain and some don't. And like I go to put it in the mail slot, it just drops on the floor. Yeah, just like I am imagining I'm working in a hotel lobby, exact, an old fashioned one. You're right, Brad. It's brazing. Brad, brazen Brad. We could call you, why don't you, let's, how about that, Brad? Raising Brad Brass. A couple things we could pitch that. We could get to Food Network. You could have your own braising show. I don't like braising with Brad Brass. Doesn't have the same punch. I wouldn't pitch. I would only pitch braising Brad Brass. Also, then I can write a biography about you. Raising Braising Brad Brass. Yeah, no, I work with a niche publisher. We only publish fake biographies about fake people with, you know. Oh, you didn't know you weren't real. You didn't catch on when I renamed you Brazing Brad Brass. Oh, the days when you were at the schoolyard, Brad, running around, telling the other kids about cooking in liquids at 325. So do you think that's brazing? I mean, you'd be the only one I'd ask. I mean, if we could have started, this intro would have been 2 or 3 minutes if I would have known when we started you were reporting outside my apartment was the one, the only brazing Brad Brass. I could have said, Brad, well, first of all, you'd probably lose your name because you thought I was baking something. Braising buns. You're right. That could be our first episode. Braising buns in an oven with Braising Brad Brass. All right, you're catching on, Brad. We'll be fine. I could have just gone outside and been like, hey, are you Braising Brad Brass? Because I have something in my oven. It's cooking. We can all agree on that. It is cooking. But I'm not quite sure if I'm baking it, roasting it, or braising it. So I wanted to run it by the only person I could, you, Mr. Brass. The brazer. Did they call you the brazer at some point? Like when you got to middle school, you went from Brazing Brad to the brazer? You don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. Well, anyway, I believe it or not, Brad. Oh, wait, I was doing a personal podcast intro for Brazing Brad Brass. What did you say, Brad? Oh, Seuss just turned over. Really? Because they overused alliteration. Oh, well, I'll tell you what, I'll take your Seuss and raise you a Shel Silverstein if you want me to keep alliterating, buddy. Okay, I don't get aggressive. That was faux aggression. Don't worry, Brad. I'm glad you're here. Because really, clearly these news reports are tough on you because you showed up here under some kind of pretense that I had a bun in my oven. And really, you just want to spread the love of braising across the globe. But maybe when I take you under my wing, you can see the full horizons of braising. Because what I was going to say is it seems like you want to spread your love of braising. And that's why I started this podcast a little different. I had trouble sleeping, like telling rambling stories and, you know, having this kind of senseless banter with imaginary figures. This seems like my area of expertise. I'm no brazer. I may be brazing and podcasting at the same time. But mostly I just like putting people to sleep with my silly stories. And I'm glad I can help you as you try to decide the focus of the next stage of your career. You could, I don't know, Brad. I don't even know if I should pitch the audience on that. The Blazing Brazer, Brad Brass. So it'd be like a barbecue braising show. Are you going to like bleach your hair? Anyway, I got a good, Brad, believe it or not, like this has been lovely. I'll be thinking about this until the thing's out of the oven. Let me pretend you're my audience. So anyway, this podcast is a little bit different, if you haven't noticed, a little bit silly, but you don't have to pay attention. You don't have to fall asleep. You just kick back and listen. If you're new here, like the Quad B or whatever we're going to call this reporter, Quad B, I knew you'd like that. But if you're new here, you're welcome. I can't promise this podcast doesn't work for everybody. It takes a few times, especially if you're skeptical. Why wouldn't you be? It is confusing, though, because I'm still not sure if I'm baking, roasting, or braising, or all. Anyway, I apologize for Brad, but he's really young. He's a young man. But I'm glad you're here, and I really hope and really yearn to help you fall asleep. Thanks for stopping by.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.
Hey everybody, this is Scoots, and this episode coming up here is a blast from the past as we slowly approach episode 1000. I've been kind of looking back at some of the older episodes and some of the periods of the podcast and just saying, oh, okay, these are ones I get a lot of feedback about, or these are ones I have a strong association with. And so I'm going to be pulling a few of these out of the vault here leading up to it. And by playing this, it also gives me a chance that eventually, hopefully this summer, I'll be able to take a week or two off. So that'll be nice, too, to prepare for episode 1000 or to relax after it. But so this particular episode is not just one I say, oh, I really remember. I can remember making this. I can remember feeling good about it. But it was also a trip to the McElroys from my brother and me. And the extended McElroy family, they just went out of their way. They're all amazing individuals and amazingly supportive of Sleep With Me and the Sleep With Me podcast community. And particularly Justin just went out of his way really early on to encourage me. And I don't think I'll ever be able to forget it or repay it. And to just remind me, why I make this show and what's really important and what he kind of learned from his journey. And so it's great pride that I get to replay this episode. And if you don't listen to one of the many podcasts, my brother and me make, the McElroy brothers, or any of the individual McElroys, you could check them out. They also have a new book about making podcasts that I bought, and I've bought it for a couple people out there that have been thinking about starting to make their own podcast or working on it. And I'll have links to all that in the show notes. You can find a lot of their podcasts on Maximum Fun, another great place to support if you listen to podcasts, Maximum Fun Podcasts. Maximum Fun. I think I sounded like I said Maximum Fum. But anyway, without further ado, I don't know if I'm, like I'm recording this, I don't know if I'm putting it in before or after, before the intro or before the story, but here's a Scoots from the past. From, believe it or not, like almost 500 episodes or 400 episodes ago. But it really seems like yesterday, because I can remember like checking this episode before it came out. I'm pretty sure on a plane. So thanks, McElroy's and everybody else out there that supported me along the way. Thanks. All right. Hey, everybody. This is Scooter, and welcome to, I guess, like, I'm always, like, I get these ideas, and one of the great things about the podcast is I get to test out random ideas. And this might be a little dated when it gets released, but, this won't be dated. Like, I don't know how many of you listen to the podcast, My Brother and Me with the McElroys. But you should check it out. If you don't, and you say, well, let me tell you who listens. Lin-Manuel Miranda listens to My Brother and Me. So there you go. Also, I like to listen to it. And in a recent episode, well, the last episodes that I heard that came out, they were talking about like the changing of the year in January and what are we going to call this new year? And one of the pitches was 20 Riventeen. They heard the crickets. They say, what did you say, Scoots? They said, yeah, 20 Riventeen. And named after 20 years, I think, no, maybe not. Is it 20 Riven? Is it Riven 20 years old or 10 years old? I don't know. Wow, it is 20 years old. So, right, 2097. I kind of remember the game Riven, and then on this particular episode, which hopefully I'll link to, they also had this other thing they talked about, which kind of drew me in for maybe the second half of this episode. But I was thinking about this game Riven. So Riven was a PC game. Now I'm not going to tell it, like, I won't tell you any facts. But I guess this would be like, so this is a Tuesday episode. Maybe it'll be Rending Riventeen. I guess that's what it'd be. Rending Riventeen, an episode in honor of Riventeen. And hopefully we can make this into a two-part episode, where the story will carry into the next thing. So Riven was a PC Mac game, I think pre-con, 1997 it came out, so pre-console, and it was a sequel to the game Myst, and here's what I remember about it personally, because in the, like, so this would have been the late 90s, and I guess the game was re-released, I don't know the date, this was the time I was in a relationship. I was living the end of the 90s. So I guess not that long. I don't think I played the Riven in 97, but maybe at the end of the 90s I played it. Maybe the early aughts. I'm not sure I played Myst, and maybe like, so if you're a huge Riven or Myst fan, I don't know what to tell you, because I probably will. Like, also, if you've listened to this podcast, my memory just doesn't really, it like, records stuff when it feels like it, and then it says, well, let me show you this picture. You make sense of it. And that's what it was like when I took a test, too. It'd say, well, I'll show you these numbers. Go ahead and figure it out. And I'd say, no. You're my brain. You're supposed to help me here. Well, yeah, here's a couple pictures of stuff. That's what's in my head right now. Here's a couple pictures of stuff. But let me tell you the most prominent pictures right now was, I was living with my girlfriend at the time, and she was not a gamer. And I think we talked about video games and not that long ago. And I think this was at one point, actually, I think, okay, I'm pretty sure this was the end of the 90s, because I'm pretty sure I know what my job was. was when I was installing ergonomic, like, keyboard trays and stuff like that. Almost positive that's making more and more sense, maybe. And let's see. So I remember, so she was not a video game player, at, like not at all. Like, and I hadn't been. And I think, so we must have had a computer. So maybe I'm getting my, like, I may be getting some of my dates mixed up here, but, so somewhere between 1997 and 2001, this could be anywhere in those 4 or 5 years, we were, like, in, I know exactly where we were. We're in Pleasanton. And so this was still when you would buy, like, we were driving there, for, we were out there for some reason, and this was like, and if you listen to that video game episode, what are the two things I used to love doing? Drinking and playing video games. And it, Myst and Riven are different, which we'll get to. But so, I didn't think this would be video game heavy, but I guess, like, trying to explain Riven, I really want my brain to work with me here because it's a rich environment. So let's see. So what happened was, there used to be those computer, like, there was stores where you would buy computer, like, kind of like Best Buy. I don't know what they were called. CompUSA, maybe, where you could buy video games. I have a couple other memories about the stores like that, but so, and also, there was a BevMo. So at some point, we're out there, and I said, Jesus, let's just go into this CompUSA. Maybe we needed something other else, too. But I think I pitched her on this Riven. I said, like, maybe I'd read about it or heard about it, and I'm pretty sure it was Riven and not Myst, but it could be wrong. It could be Myst, but I'm pretty sure it's Riven. So we must have had a decent computer, so that would make it more in the later 90s. Like, that must have been what happened. Is I remember I got a decent computer at some point, and then I said, well, if I have a computer, I might as well start playing games again. And yeah, that makes sense, because I probably got it with, like, a decent card and a decent sound card. Yeah, this is all starting to make sense. I still have, you want to talk about when you buy, you want to talk about going off subject, but so this is 20 years ago-ish, like, or 18, I mean, maybe 18 or 17 years ago. So when I bought that computer, this computer that we're talking about that I would play Riven on, it came with computer speakers. I still have those computer speakers. And I don't know if it's some sort of an anomaly, or because the speakers, they came with a computer, but it was like a little bit better. Like, I bought it from an independent computer store that sold PCs, PC cologne type computers. And I think they had like different levels, like, you could customize, but it was basically like a super cheap one, the middle one. And this was when computers were still, like, kind of expensive, like, not do like, but so I got to, like, the middle model, which came with these speakers, which were like, it's just two speakers and a subwoofer. But the sound that comes out of these computer speakers, not only is it good, I mean, I'm not an audiophile, but like, most computer speakers have weak sound. Like, this one, like, I can't even put it at full volume. Like, still, it would blow the windows out, and which is just strange. I think I don't even know what brand they are. I think the company, I think maybe, I don't know. But yeah, like, talk about getting your money's worth. There's still, I keep in my kitchen attached to the Echo Dot, and use those speakers every single day now, still 20 years later. And these are like little square computer speakers, 20 Riventine, the year I talk about computer speakers. But so we went to, so at some point we're out in Pleasanton, California, which is like a suburb of the Bay Area, not too far out there. And I think at the time it was the only place there was an In-N-Out Burger. Like, there wasn't any in the Bay, like the, like in Oakland or San Francisco. And so I'm sure we ate at In-N-Out Burger, and then we probably went to BevMo and got some wine and beer. And then at some point we went to this video game store, and then I said, like, we got to check this game Riven out. And because it's like, there's games like this now on the iPad, like a point and click adventure where the kind of, you're meant to discover the story. It's more of like a think piece, I guess. I don't know. That might be the wrong use of that word, but like nothing's handed to you on a silver platter, even the controls or anything. Like my memory of Ribbon is like, I'm not sure if it came, how much literature it came with, but that you start the game and you don't even know what your goal is or like other, than, like anything. Like you just start the game, you're on these islands. And my girlfriend, Natalie, she like was like, she was into it because it was a very puzzle based game. And I don't know if we completed it, but I remember we spent some good time like working together and taking notes, a lot of note taking because some of these puzzles were tough. And it's weird that I just made fun of my memory, but I can see all her notes because she had good handwriting. So her notes would be readable, and she was also good at analytical and like math stuff. But so we played this game. I mean, I don't know how consistently we played it. I know we never finished it because there was a couple puzzles, that we just never got, I don't know where we got hung up on or maybe just got burned out. But like my memory of the game is it's very atmospheric. It has very atmospheric music. You're on these islands and there's architecture. I'm pretty sure there's like these monorail type things that connect the islands and you're trying to get access. I remember like underwater viewing. I think at some point you communicate with a whale or something and that's one of the puzzles. And I think a puzzle is like remotely monitoring lights. And like a jungle, I guess maybe this won't take long. Like, and then like it was very tropical, like these jungles and, you know, everything slowly rusting. Beautiful, beautiful, beautifully done game. And I actually found like a bunch of wires from 1987. And I have one on the making of the game that I'm going to send. I think I'm going to send it to Justin, my brother and me. Just because he's so nice. But I was like, I'm going to try to read the article first. But so I guess that's what I remember about Riven. I'm trying to think anything more that comes up. I think because I didn't know. So I was thinking about Riven. And then I was thinking about, huh, could that guide us through an episode? Okay, so thinking, how would we do this as a rending? Like, how can we, really bring in Riventine with a, you know, the way it deserves it? So I think I thought of an idea to use Riven rends in a way that'll work in a story. And I guess this is, a little bit of a gift to the McElroys because, there's such a really great people and really great influence on podcasting. So settle back for the first story of 20 Riventine. And you might say, geez, what is going to be the link between Riven and this story? And I'd say very little. Maybe the link would be in the circus-like nature of my thoughts, in the thoughts of the news, and the waning fortunes of circuses in this day and age, and the need to have your circus be cutting edge I'm a person that thinks about going to circuses a lot, and not necessarily that who does, but says, man, I'd like to be a person that goes to more underground circuses or circi or circ. But maybe I'm not always that person. And But I was, like, as you know, I'm familiar with the story of the Purple People Circus, the founding, like, I don't know anything about the founding, but when the founders met, you might recall the episode, I don't know the episode number, but it was, the title was something about a ventriloquist dummy, and that was about the found, like, when the founders of the, well, the creator, and his part, his future partner for the Triple P Circus, the Purple People's Circus. I don't know why it's called. I think I was the one that gave them the title, the Triple P Circus. I'm just realizing that there's only two P's. There might be another one. But Barry, Mr. England, he was in London searching for the next big busker, and that's where he met Martha Mark, and, you know, they kind of, like, she had this new ventriloquist act, you know, a little bit more, but a little bit more, hers was just a little bit more fun, like, it was more busker-based, like a more modern ventriloquist dummy show, where you're not sure if, you know, she's just, but anyway, like, they admit, they, like, and I guess that's all we knew, was they met on the streets of London, where she was busking with her dummy, whose name, hopefully, I have somewhere, but I guess I don't. I actually have notes. What does this say? Money is a movie. I don't know, but her dummy was, like, who's the dummy now? Her dummy was kind of over sass and snark. So, but whatever, they ended up forming, the Purple People's Circus. And if you wanted the details on their wedding, I'm sure it's at, like, you know, circuscelebs.com or something, but I know they used Archer's theme. And they always say, Archer's theme. And I'm not familiar with that song, but I think and they were married before when the Purple People Circus, it consisted of three people, if you count the dummy. And, you know, after they were married, they had this dream of building this new circus, a social circus, subtextual social circus. Maybe I'm projecting some meaning onto it, but, you know, there was just a circus for the day. And, I guess maybe that's what we're seeing now. And I think I talked about in that episode. And maybe this is where Cirque du Soleil tries to be. I don't know. I guess I don't want to weigh in on the circus industry. So they started searching the world for performers and just traveling and busking when they could to pay their bills. I guess it was maybe you could say it was their honeymoon. And I think I want to say they were in Prague because I have visited Prague once and I loved it there. And I love the people there and the architecture. And they were going through what's it called? I don't know the name of anything anymore. But I tell you, there's this one plaza. And there's this old church, it's just very mysterious, and then there's a bell tower that I went up, or some sort of tower that I was able to go up, and I kept looking at this church, and I said, this is something that's been, or a cathedral maybe, and you've seen it, it's on the other side of the river from Pražský hrad, that's what Pražský hrad, or whatever you call it, Prague Castle, I call it Pražský hrad. And what is it, like, Starry Maestro, Old Town, near the Old Town and on your way to the Charles Bridge, I think, and, like, the parade grounds or, like, whatever the, like, road is called. I guess I won't be invited to Prague, but I love it. That's fine. That'll make it hurt if you don't invite, you know, but, like, you're right. I should get my facts straight. So what was my point? So there's this gatehouse that you go through, I think a gate room, they call it, and the way there, and they heard the cheers of a happy crowd being, you know, buskies. And it was just breaking up, and they saw this gentleman there, and he was dressed in like a strange outfit, like striped pants clashing with a checkered shirt, but he wasn't a clown. And the crowd was still like, they were going up to him and giving him second tips and clapping and just like disbelief. And then they looked at each other and they went right up to him, and he was packing up because it was late afternoon. This was the fall and there was a chill in the air, and they played dumb. You know, they Mr. England said, and Mr. England Barry, I think sometimes he uses an English accent, but I'm pretty sure we found out he's from Minnesota. Unless Martha, but anyway, it doesn't matter. He said, hey, well, I'll just use, you know, this is a recreation. He said, hey, wow, did we miss the show? And the performer said, you did. I'm just packing up for the night. And he said, oh, it's a shame, dear. I'm sorry that you won't see. He goes, I've been hearing about your performances like all over the city. People said, you got to get down there. My wife, she loves, and he kept pausing. And this guy was kind of, the performer was kind of like, And he goes, she really did not want to miss and he said, Fushigi art. And he said, well, I gave, yeah, you, what? Yeah, she couldn't, she, no. He goes, I thought this was the jungle totem. And he said, jungle totem. And he said, well, that's what we heard. It was like a guy that could do these, like he could make an illusion of trees. And then he would climb a pole, and he would stand at the top of the pole and pretend he was a tree. That's not you. And he said, do you see any poles around here? And Mr. England said, well, as a matter of like wooden poles? No, I don't see any wooden poles. And the guy was not, he goes, well, honey, I guess it doesn't matter. We don't need to see this show. And she goes, huh, a shame. And then she goes, dear, this is Martha speaking. She goes, dear, what time does this train leave? And Mr. England said, well, I'm pretty sure we're going to be close to missing it, but the rest of the performers are on their way to Bucharest. And the guy said, the rest of the performers? And he said, oh, yeah. He goes, we're working on a new circus, and we really wanted the totem tree guy for the circus. But yeah, that's fine. Anyway, what did you say? What kind of, you said you're some kind of artist. We thought you were a performer. And the guy goes, I am a performer, the greatest performer. I've been performing in Prague, you know, for months, and never heard of this tree totem or whatever. And Mr. England said, well, I don't know, like every survey, you know, these seem like these like busker surveys. He goes, you don't go to busker survey islandtheme.com. And the guy, because this was the old days when, like, I think that was the thing. I don't know what year this was, but you know how you'd have to go to GeoCities. I think it was like a GeoCities website, but islandtheme.com or something. And he said, no. And anyway, that was like too boring for the podcast. They just were like, because it was confusing. And they said, well, anyway, sorry to waste your time. We got to get going. We got to catch a train with all the other performers. We're headed to Bucharest. And then the guy kind of, he said, well, it's fine. He goes, well, maybe I'll just do one more show. You go ahead, though. And then he started his, like, warm-up where he said, like, he started looking around for kids. And then he started, like, pretending, like, you know, this is the kind of good, this is when you get into these good performances. Like, he's, like, started looking frantic, like he's looking for something. And he starts digging through his box and throwing things. And, you know, then the kids that are nearby, he's throwing a rubber chicken and a boot. And then a can comes out of the boots. And it's all this little suitcase. This guy was not a clown, but he did have clown influences, as a lot of buskers do. And then he's like, you know, then a roller skates. Then he's trying to pick stuff up. Then he slips in, you know, he had a comedic, very loud, you know, tin cans, like to just get a lot of attention, a lot of noise that we don't need right now, but fun noise. And the funnest noise of all, like kids laughing at people, like banana peel, like all every bit, even like he accidentally stands on the rubber, like he thinks he's like, he pretends he can't see the rubber chicken. Then he stands on it, and then it's like it makes a noise, and then he like looks around, and then the kids are like that brings the kids over, because then they say, what? And he says, they say, under your feet. And then he pretends that the chicken, he says, oh, Bernice, you know, and then the kids are cracking up, and then the adults have to come over. And then he asks the kids to help, just put the stuff away. And then they say, the kids say, well, what do you do? And he said, well, I'm just got to get going. I'm headed to Bucharest with these two. And he said, does anybody want a show? And then he goes, oh no, I can't do my show because I can't find my Miss Marmalade. And they say, he says, I got to go to the church. I got to go to the temple. And I forgot. I can't find my Miss Marmalade. I need some help from beyond. And then he pretends to weep, and the kids, then there's even more kids and more parents, and the parents, it's a little bit over the top. So the parents, even the kids can pick up on the fact that he's kind of kidding. Then he whispers to Martha to play, to get over to his boombox to play Village Entrance Theme Number 1. And she says, okay. And then, I can't remember this bit. He has something that's really good that, of course, I missed or I forgot, but like something to connect his sadness to hope. Whatever he does that, and he says, well, then now I have a great idea. That gives me a great idea. Maybe a kid, I think what happens is he waits for somebody to sneeze or whisper. I think it must be that, like, situational. Maybe someone sneezed. That was it. And then he pulled out tissues, clown style, thousands of tissues. And that's when he gets the idea. I don't know if he does it if no one sneezes. Because then he does, a mime bit where he's trying to pull back the tissues and it's too hard. And then he says, oh. And he says, do you think you could all help me? And then if anyone isn't there, he says, ladies, come over here. Who believes in the power of magic? And he goes, I've misplaced Miss Marmalade, or I don't remember again. And everyone goes, who's Miss Marmalade? And he says, well, not my cat. He goes, it's a magical ball, my crystal ball. Miss Marmalade. And he says, I can't. And he's, I looked everywhere. And he says, sometimes she gets the idea of going off on her own. So I have to bring her back. And he says, do you think you want to help? And they say, oh, yeah. And he goes, this usually works. He goes, the first time I met her, I was off on an adventure. And then he still has the and this is very cool stuff. And believe me, at this point, Marta and Mr. England are a jackpot. Too bad we lied about the circus in Bucharest, but we'll figure that out. Cause he has all these tricks. He has a string of handkerchiefs, but then he starts swinging it like a rope and telling this elaborate tale of climbing the Alps. Or obviously the local mountain range or wherever I don't know, like all the mountain ranges of the world, because, but like, let's just say the Alps. And somehow he like throws it up in the air and it like sticks, and then he pretends he's climbing. He doesn't actually climb, but I don't know how he made it. Like just handkerchiefs into a rope that like, and then maybe into a stick. I don't know the illusion. But he talks about how he's going into Moiti Caves and like he was adventuring there, looking for this rare ice they had, like that his mother liked to drink. So then he gets silly again and like does an imitation of his mother. Like, and he, like he's like asks the kids if they have to do chores, because he says, this was my chore, to climb the Alps and bring this ice back to me mother. And he's like, even then he tells, play the Moiti theme or whatever to Marta. And then he says, he was in the cave and, like he was looking at the ice and he saw this ice glowing further on, and then he slipped and he fell in this giant ice, you know, like a kind of polar bear would ride. And he said it was like a boat ride. It was in this river in the cave. And he said he's traveling through the river and he goes into like this giant glowing room. And he said, there's a wizard in there. And the wizard says, oh, finally you're here. And he goes, oh no, he goes, I'm just here for ice for my mother. And then he does, he said, have you ever met a wizard, to the kids? And the kids say, you know, depending on the air, I think at this, they said, no, no, no. And he said, well, there's some unpleasant wizards and this was one of them. And then he said, I was telling about my mother and then he was like winding me to, you know, be quiet. And he's like, I'm just here for ice for my mother's drinks. Like, I got to get back to the village. I can't stay for much longer. And he goes, the wizard says, whoa, well, you're going to be staying for a long time. He goes, because look around. We're not just in a cave. And that's when he realizes, like, they're in, like an ice bubble. It looked like a giant globe. And the busker says, I don't understand. And he goes, I don't know how you got in here, but I think I'm going to swap spots with you because this is my prison. I'm the wizard Moiti. And this is a whole nother tale, you know, but he goes, long ago, you know, I think he links it back to his mom. He says, you know, my parents, I didn't do my chores. So he hams it up for the parents and starts to like soften them up, you know, your kid, you know, like for a tip later, you know, well, do you get paid for your chores? So a lot of banter, really, really well done. Also, he was doing like, he had other props, but he says, oh, no, no, you won't. He goes, what do you like? He goes, I'm trapped within this bubble. He says, well, I'm not staying. I got to get this ice back to me mother, and I'm not going to stay here with you. So then he says there's a chase, and he said, I couldn't believe there's other rooms within this bubble, but then there's a red cave room. And then I get into this room, it was Wark's room or something. He said, I'm in here in Wark's room. And he's trying to hide from the wizard. And he had his cheek up against like the wall of the, I guess, the bubble. And he said, geez, I'm just trying. He goes, and then he was like, I wonder if I could melt this bubble and get out of here. And then he said, I felt the bubble speak back to me and said, you can, your warmth, like think of your mother and your warm feelings. And then he had he used that to make the audience laugh. But he said, I need some ice for my mother. And then the bubble kind of, this is the short version, but you know, the bubble said, well, I'll need your help, to keep Moiti within the in here. And, so that no one else stumbles upon his prison again, you know, that like this. And he said, that's when I met Miss Marmalade. Then he does a thing like Miss Marmalade, and this is very elaborate, not good for a sleep podcast, very visual. But basically, up, like he still had the pretend mountain climbing thing. Then up at the top, you see the shiny, like, flash of a ball, a crystal glass ball with something glowing in the side, inside. You don't know if it's the reflections. And I guess technically it's called a Fushigi ball. I didn't know this because I thought it was like, I thought it was his creation, magical creation. But then it rolls down the handkerchiefs into his hand. And he says, well, perfect timing, Miss Marmalade. I wish I would have paid attention with the name because it doesn't seem to fit. But at the same time, it does because the kids, and then he's talking and he's doing these I think these Fushigi things, I did watch a YouTube video, and they're like those balls that seem to levitate. Now, this one, it seemingly levitated. It didn't seem to levitate. It was high. If it was Fushigi art, this was the pinnacle of Fushigi art. And so then he's doing things, and then they're kind of, closing out the adventure of how he escaped and she shrunk down. And he was supposed to rescue her. Then he brought back, he didn't have the ice. So then he said, I made a deal with Miss Marple. Her name's not Miss Marmalade, but in order to keep, the moiety in the prison, and he says, play Catherine's Prelude. He goes, we still weren't sure because the globe was shaking, when I got it back to my house. So I think I got ahead of myself. And then the mother was trying to do what is this? Maybe we'll sell this for ice. And he said, no. And he said when he was struggling with his mother, he realized that it was sapping the wizard of the wizard's power. And so then he said, well, then I got away from, my mother because I earned my freedom from her as her, ice. He goes, because I bolted. And he goes, so now I have to do these tricks with the ball, to keep the wizard, so the wizard goes to sleep. It's kind of like, and then he goes, did your parents ever rock you to go to sleep? And all the kids are like, oh, yeah, I remember being rocked by my parents. And, he goes, yeah, they just, they sing you a song, the Gen Lullaby. And the kids are like, the Gen Lullaby. And he goes, well, that's a lullaby I sing to Moiety. But he goes, it's actually more of a, he goes, because of the prison. And then he also does stuff because the kids don't buy it, of course. So a lot of the tricks, I guess a sleep podcast isn't the best place to promote the greatest Fushigi performer ever. But then he pretends, I think that I'm trying to think if I should tell you about the climax of the show. Because I think he says, because I think I missed a part where he goes and gets it. Then at some point he realizes he gets out, and then he makes a deal to with the magical orb, Miss Marmalade, to shrink down, to have him hold it and guard it. I think he becomes the guardian of Marmalade. That was one the kids laughed about. I think, at least in the places where people know maybe he calls it Miss Jam and other places, or Miss Jelly. And then he talks about the thing with his mom. I covered that. I missed something in there about, I think at one point, I think that then the wizard one night comes to him. Because I think he gets homesick. I think that's the other thing with the kids. He uses that one, the heartstrings, and also uses it to get the tips because he says, I moved away and I learned to do these tricks to kind of ride. Maybe he did. Yeah. He says, that's it. Cause then he says, all my tricks are lullabies to put the wizard to sleep. And so then he does some tricks. Maybe they're slow motion. Maybe that's to Catherine's theme. I think also Martha had never queued up the music for this performance before, so it was not, you know, wasn't perfect. But then he says one, like, I think that the climax, oh boy, I remembered the climax. Oh, that's what it is. He becomes homesick. So that's the, because then the wizard, when night comes to him, like, oh, singing all the lullabies and everything, he starts to miss his mother. And I think because maybe he's in Iceland. Because that would be, you could probably make that funny for kids, and that would make sense. And so then one night the wizard comes to him in his dream, and a very nice wizard now. Gotten so much good sleep from being rocked and lullabied. And I mean, you think about a good place to sleep, like an orb, like I think climate controlled by magic, you know, is a good place to sleep. With some padding and stuff like that, like clouds. But so, let's see, where was he? So the wizard comes to him in his dream. And he says, I see a fissure in you. You miss your mother. And then he shows, like, this is a little bit, like, par for the course. Like, he shows him the movie, like, about his mom within the globe. And she's missing her son. And then a fissure opens up in the thing. He says, like, it's very emotionally resonant. And then he's, like, even sitting, and somehow, I guess, like, I don't know the technology, but at some point he's sitting in the audience, and this is projected, you're seeing this, the audience is seeing this. So this is, like, some VR, like, it's not even VR level, it's actual reality Fushigi. Like, somehow, I mean, presumably he's projecting an image within the Fushigi ball. And, you know, I guess the fidelity was pretty good. Because so then he, the busker, is sitting there watching it with the family, like, of his mom. And then he does more of the show. Oh, maybe I should go back. Then it gets into more Miami thing where he's like showing his emotional pull, like, with the ball. Little interpretive dancey. I mean, I don't want to, like I said, Jesus, I mean, if I was telling this story, we would have had, like, one less plot point. I guess two more plot points or plot points. But he has this whole thing with the ball and the back and the forth and deciding and, should I go into the ball? Then he gets interactive with the kids and the parents. And then, you know, the wisdom of children, like, he finds a kid with a mom and he says, well, would you go with, like, and then the kid says, well, no, you have to keep the wizard in there. You could just go home and visit your mom, not by magical rift, just go home. And he says, oh, thank you. Then this is a little cheap too. He says, well, the train tickets are so expensive. And he says, well, who would want to help? Like, and I said, man, I don't know if, like, this is ethical. He says, well, like, and of course he rolls it in. Like, people are like, well, he goes, whoever would want to help me go visit my mom, do you throw in a few dollars, you know, and even, like, Mr. Ink, but, I mean, it's rough out there being a busker, so who am I to judge? But don't worry, because then once he gets everybody's money, he does a climax where he says, then I realized that there was still a fissure within the thing, and, like, because then Miss Marmalade called him. And so then he does a whole nother show, like a climax, like where he's battling the wizard and trying to get the wizard back to sleep. And then, like, using the thing, like he said, well, who has a older brother, older sister? And then, you know, then he becomes out with this, very soft martial arts solution. You know, non-conflict oriented. He said, Jesus, arguing with your siblings ever work?
So really, the parents are getting the, you know, the money is getting money, the, you know, and then another thing, like with fireworks inside the Fushigi ball. And then finally, like then this heartbeat within the Fushigi ball that's raising him up off the ground. And then he really does, he climbs up that rope that he, like, whatever mechanism he had must be really strong, because he pretends the Fushigi ball is pulling him upwards up the Alp, the rope that he had going up the Alps. And like levitating him, which totally mesmerizes him. Then there's fireworks. Then he must pull like a little, another Fushigi ball, a miniature one that's like has an ice projection. And then he plugs it out and like brings it back down and like drops it in a drink. And then like sits down exhausted. And you know, then the show, like the show's over, but he does sell like a cheap, pretty much like a, like one of those light up ice cubes to the kids too, if they want that. And of course, like after the show, like, I mean, you know, it's not perfect. Like it could use refinement, but Martha and Mr. England Barry are like, holy cow. By the way, we're not the most ethical. We don't have a circus yet, and we're heading towards Bucharest in search of performers. And they said, they didn't even know what Fushigi was, much like me. And I don't know if that's a brand name, so I don't even know. I mean, that's just like but I guess I don't know what you'd call it, like a glass, what is it called? What do they call them? Crystal ball. But the Fushigi's more of the levitation part and bringing it to life. So they say, geez, well, so that was how the first plutonic performer of, weird that the ventriloquist dummy wasn't there. But yeah, and that's how, I never caught the dude's name. I would say Phil Fushigi, but. Maybe that's it. I couldn't, you know, me. But yeah, that's a little bit about the first plutonic performer hired by the Purple People Circus. Good night.
I want to thank everybody on Twitter, Jelly Sock, Alexandra S, Texas Beck, Borbly Heather, Atomic April, Devla Guy, Lauren M. Peachy, Wither and Bloom Tea, thanks and good night, thank you and good night. Bubblegum Heart, Six Strong, thanks and good night. 10F10, thanks and good night. Lisa S to the P, thanks and good night. Jason P, thank you and good night. Thrifty Stitcher, thanks and good night. Laura G to the J, thank you and good night. Anesthesia, thank you and good night. Boss Bueno, oye, thank you and good night. Babs, be like Babs, thanks and good night. Vanessa C, who recommended a Thrifty Stitcher, thank you and good night. Sparky Monster, thank you and good night. Sally W, thank you and good night. Mel S, thank you and good night. Mickey B, thank you and good night. Radio, thanks. Illusionoid, thanks and good night. Stephanie L, Lady Steph, thank you and good night. Comedy Saves, Mama LeBon, thank you and good night. Thomas F, Tom Does Tweets, thanks and good night. T to the H to the O to the M, Tom, thanks. Bear Trap D, if you need some fitness, check out Bear Trap Fitness, thank you. Sad Moon Face Gal, thanks and good night. Girl A, thank you and good night. Mosh Jorgen, court, thank you and good night. Allie G, thank you and good night.
Leah, thank you, and good night. Allison F., thank you, and good night. Levins, Carmador Jal, thank you, and good night. Mixter Hyde, thank you for recognizing that, and good night. Lee K., thank you, and good night. Treyville Spa, thank you, and good night. Florence R. to the K., thanks, thanks, and good night. Corey Funk, thanks, and good night. Funkmatic, keeping the lights on. Victoria, thank you. Viander, can't say your Twitter tag, though. Melancol, Kyle of Soaps, thank you, and good night. Sad Miles, no longer sad, now he's young. And Dope, thanks, Miles, good night. Kaluji, Madison, thanks for the show. Thank you for letting me know what Kaluji is. Thanks. Callie, thank you and good night. Jennifer L., thank you and good night. Emily B., thank you and good night. Natalie M. to the B., thank you and thanks for writing about the podcast. Bobby F., thanks and good night. Sammy M., thank you for talking about the podcast too. Thanks and good night. Cassie the Human, thank you and good night. Robert R., thank you and good night. KT, thank you and good night. Not very Raven, totally Raven to me, I think, if that's a good thing. Thanks and good night. Meerkat, thanks and good night. Spoonfed Music, thank you and good night. Tanya, to the R., thanks and good night. Megaments, thanks, I like that, saying that. Beth to the G to the Immer, thanks and good night. Mary Beth, thank you and good night. Susan T, thank you and good night. Eric S, thanks and good night. Sophie W, thanks and good night. Chastastic, thanks and good night. Nug, thanks and good night. Allison Noel, thank you and good night. Andrea W, thanks and good night. Thanks and good night, everybody. Sleep well.
Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.
All right, everybody, this is Scoots. I'm talking about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. You could take that Helix Sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. I'm just about to hit my 4-year anniversary sleeping in my Helix Dusk Lux. And I took that Helix quiz. You know, I sleep on my side. I sleep on my stomach. I toss. I turn. I don't want to overheat at night. And when I took the quiz, that was the mattress it matched me with. The Helix Dusk, I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. Because Helix has like 20 unique mattresses. They've got an award-winning Lux collection, the Helix Elite collection, which is new, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you'll know the Helix mattress works best for you and your body is to take that Helix sleep quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. You'll find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, there's enhanced cooling features for people like me, keep us from overheating at night. If your spine needs that extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining comfort and support. I took the Helix sleep quiz. Like I said, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I wanted something with the right firmness that I could sleep on my stomach, my side, even my back. And they kept me from overheating. And it fits the bill. And not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. Plus, all Helix mattresses come with a 10 to 15 year warranty, depending on the model. And if you don't want to take my word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors. The sleep medicine is a go-to solution for improving your sleep. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. That's HELIXPARTNER20, one word. This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.